Why did you wave your hand in front of
me? No, just go. Keep laughing.
Is this shit on? Is this shit on?
They cut the airwaves, man.
Oh my fucking god.
They can hear it.
You never do shit like that. You never do shit like that.
Oh, what do you mean I never do
shit? You never do shit like that, dude. You fucking, you're testing the mic. And you wait your fucking hand.
Welcome to our intro clip.
Oh my god! You're waving your fucking hand!
Welcome to episode 69 of Uncore Gamers. Welcome to the second episode of the new year. We hope you guys enjoyed the last one. I am back in the States with my main man,
Jeff.
Yeah. Dude, sit up, man. You're like 10 feet away from the mic right now.
Hey, they can hear me. Episode 69. That's what I heard.
Alright, so some interesting things happened while I was gone.
Like what?
Like Oculus releasing a price for the
Oculus
Rift.
Yeah, they did. And they told you. Told you so.
$600.
Sony's isn't going to be that much better either.
You don't think it's going to be cheaper?
I'm feeling like I said, it's going to be a minimum of like $400.
I'm thinking $400 best case scenario, but it comes with the Move controllers and the camera.
The cool thing about that is that, you know, as long as you own a PlayStation, it's, you know, whatever. But the other one's also, I don't know how the mandate is on a computer, the Rift. So you might not be able to play it right off the bat.
I think I saw some computers, like Rift compatible computers, going for about $1,600.
$1,600? That's not even the cheapest computer, man.
No.
So you can't get the cheapest computer and play VR?
No.
The Rift? See. There's that.
So you think $400?
So $1,600, so you're looking to spend $2,200 to play Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
If you don't already have a good computer.
Yeah, if you don't already have a good computer. Which I assume if you were one of the people that backed Oculus in the first place, you probably have a good enough computer. Speaking of which, all those people are getting a free version of the Oculus Rift box.
The small one? A little small, steps?
The official release. They're calling it the Oculus Rift box. It comes with the Oculus Rift. It comes with an Xbox One controller and an Oculus remote.
What was that cheaper version of the Rift?
Oh, you mean the Vibe? The HTC Vibe?
No, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. Like they were saying something about having a... Or was it the Vibe?
That's the HTC
one. Samsung. It was a Samsung.
Samsung Gear? That's just a phone one. You put your phone in there.
Yeah, but that's developed by Microsoft as well, right?
Oculus is not developed by Microsoft.
Isn't it?
No.
I thought they started the development.
Nope.
The crap?
There was some guys kickstarted it, started development, and then Facebook eventually bought them out.
Oh, crap. I was under the impression that Microsoft started the whole movement.
Dude, if Microsoft had started this thing, you know for sure it would have been an Xbox One peripheral. But it is not. Excuse me. I'm not used to this moist climate.
You were gone for a week.
A lot can change in a week.
Not your like capacity to breathe moisture.
The world of virtual reality, man. Like the world of virtual reality. We think $600. That is, I'm scared. I'm scared of Sony's release for the Project Morpheus now. Yes, I'm still calling it the Project Morpheus.
Morpheus sounds a better name than
it is a better name.
PlayStation VR, dude. That's just so simple.
It's too long to say PlayStation VR. Too many syllables.
There's no oomph to it, dude.
Yeah.
PlayStation virtual reality.
I understand.
Oh, that's cool.
I understand. Yeah. Making it easier for the consumer, for the dad and the moms wanting to get their kids something.
Goes with the PlayStation?
Yeah.
And just call it PS Morpheus.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying, man. I mean, yeah, come on, PS, man, PS.
Dude, I've worked in places where they sold games. You know, some people like they're getting gifts. They don't know jack about the.
Ask it is so old.
It's pretty much.
Well, what's a DK one?
Development kit, the first development kit.
Okay, but that's only for developers, right?
No, that was what they were releasing. When you bought it as a Kickstarter, like, Google had the Google Glass, so you can, like, buy the Google Glass, but it was just a development unit. That's what that was. That was your Kickstarter.
Oh, I see. It's interesting. Did you help with that?
No. It was way too much. It would have been cool.
How much was it? What were they...
I don't remember. It was like I think it was a couple hundred to get like a development kit.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, had I known what I know now, I would have gone the actual product way cheaper. But you don't know these things. You don't know how it's gonna turn out. You know, like VR is still very sketchy waters when this thing was first coming out.
Yeah.
But I'm scared. I think if they go 400 for the PlayStation VR, I'm not sure if the market's gonna be there for them.
If they go over 400?
If they go 400 or over.
Higher.
Both.
400's not that bad. 400 really is not that bad.
For a peripheral?
But it's its own...
I know it's technically its own game console thing, but it runs off the PS4.
But that's what I'm saying.
People are gonna view it as a peripheral.
But still, I don't feel like it's a bad price for it. Like, $400 would be a good price for it. Considering it's, you know, the first gen of, like, this... You know, this whole VR movement, dude.
Is it a good price when your kid wants... When your kid's the only one playing the PlayStation, your kid wants a VR, you're like, oh, I'm going to drop another $400 on this thing?
On me?
Yeah, but if it wasn't on you...
Not for the kid.
If you were average Joe dad, oh, I don't play no video games, I just watch me some football. I let my kid play the video games. I'm not going to drop another $400. He already got $400
on the machine. I would not do it for my kids, though.
Exactly.
I wouldn't buy it for my kids.
And... What's the majority of people that play games?
But as it is now, the like, I wouldn't buy a PlayStation 4 for them either.
The biggest consumer base of gamers, their kids.
Not anymore. That was true a long time ago, dude.
Not a long time ago.
Yeah. Fairly long.
Why is Nintendo?
No, actually, you know what? I think it might have been after, like, the PS1 era, where, like, you know, it wasn't just for kids anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it got to a certain point, and then it was just, like, kind of like... Because everybody, I mean, all the kids turned into adults, so it was more of a...
I mean, I will argue that it shifted quite a bit, but I still think the majority still lies in kids.
I want to disagree with that.
That's fine. This is a free country. Yeah. You're allowed to.
Yeah.
This is a free podcast.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to disagree. And I think X gets the square.
What? X gets... Oh, I see.
I disagree.
Took me a second.
Yeah, it did.
So I never really watched that show.
So a Buddhist monk goes to up to a hot dog vendor.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The vendor asks, "What will you have?" And the monk replies, "Make me one with everything."
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. Good job. No, I'm not giving you fanfare for that one.
Hey, some people might not have heard of that one yet.
Well, I mean, hopefully... See, PlayStation is doing the same thing they did with the PlayStation 4. Right? You're talking about the VR. They're saying, hey, don't worry. There's about 100 or more titles already in development for the PlayStation VR. Cool. There's like 100 or more titles already in development for the PlayStation 4. What are they?
There's 100 games in development as of now, but they have 20 over like 200 developers working with the VR.
Cool. Can we get some of those developers to make PlayStation 4 games? Because I'm, you know, supposedly there's like hundreds of those too.
No.
No. That's my point. Like, it means nothing to say there's hundreds of games in development. Yeah, cool. Is that like a one-year development?
But you gotta understand,
this thing's coming out this year.
A lot of those games are gonna be smaller games. They're gonna be like simple games. They're not gonna be super complicated.
I understand that, but you gotta understand what I'm coming across here. Yeah, they're gonna be selling this thing for $100. What? Are 10 of those hundreds of games in development gonna be ready at launch? Because
according to GameStop. the launch titles out of all the VR systems, PlayStation has the greatest lineup, greatest starting lineup out of all of them.
But that doesn't mean anything because Oculus has like 2 games.
I'm sure they'll have more than 2 games at launch. But it does mean something, though. That means that they have more games out. You know, they're gonna have more more choices.
It's not about having more; it has about having the games people want.
Dude, what is your problem?
You gotta get that Gran Turismo.
They're gonna have a game that everybody wants.
I want people to buy. They're gonna
have the game.
They're gonna have Riggs. Riggs is gonna be a launch title. I'm calling.
That's the one everybody's gonna get, and then from there they can just start building. You know, it's the way it goes, man. It's the way it goes.
Though.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
I think PlayStation has learned that the hard way with the Vita and the PSP.
Vita? What's Vita?
Great handheld devices, but they just couldn't get people to play because they didn't have the games people want. People want like Grand Theft Autos and Call of Duty, bro games, right?
People you tell me
bro
people just wanted ports?
Yeah, a lot of people want ports. It's sad. It's very sad.
The stupidest thing, though.
It is stupid, yeah. It is. It's exactly what that is.
Hey, I just want to play on my handheld. Well, no, dude. Just make different games. Just make different games. Like, I'm cool with, like, them making ports, but it shouldn't be excessive.
And that's why the Vita's had its resurgence. That's why it's still a popular console, because they got rid of that mentality. They're like, oh, we're not going to build AAA games anymore. AKA, we're not putting ports on there anymore. You know, we'll just let all these other third-party developers like Atlus and like Concept, whatever, put whatever games they want to put on there. Fine, whatever. And the people are like, hey, cool. This is a portable game on my portable system designed for portability. I'm having a great time now. You know?
Designed for portability. Yeah. Been playing my DSi. Oh, I already said that. Been playing my DSi a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
You don't want to buy it just to play the same things. Like, oh yeah, share play. Like, no, I have my PlayStation and my TV. When I play my big games, I'll play it in my big boy pants.
I think they tried to trademark that, and they got shot down.
No, they didn't try to trademark that. They tried to trademark.
Wasn't it that?
They tried to trademark Let's Play.
Oh, Let's Play. That's right. Yeah.
Yep. They tried to trademark the phrase Let's Play.
Hmm. No one else can use the trademark with the words "Let's Play."
It was refused on the grounds of likelihood of confusion, as there's a similar mark already trademarked.
Oh, there's something already. What is it? Does it say what it is?
Not under my articles.
Interesting.
Now. Is it maybe "Let's Go" or something like that, or "Go Play"?
So, you know, did you hear about GameSpot? I keep saying GameSpot. GameStop is closing down all their Puerto Rico stores in the near future.
Really?
Yeah. They apparently made, like, over, like, the last few weeks, they've made over $9 billion? Something like that?
Selling the properties?
In sales, not in profit, though. Okay. Like, in sales, they've made over, like, $9 billion or something. Something crazy. But apparently their shares aren't doing all that great. Like, their shares are dropping.
So weird how shares change the market. Yeah.
Even though they're, like, I mean, it seems it would seem that they're profitable, if like, really profitable, if, you know, they're making so much money in such a, you know, like, whatever, like, 6 weeks or something like that. But I guess I just don't understand the
big economics business, all that great. Yeah.
Economics. Economics, man. My economic teacher...
Yeah.
Had a full sheet of $2 bills, uncut. It was insane, dude. Wow. I don't know how he got it, dude, but it was insane. Like, he had it, like, in this, like, fancy-ass, like, case, you know what I mean? Like, it was really cool
looking. Oh, yeah, I can bet.
And he was talking, he told a story about how he came about getting it, but I don't remember it at all. And then there's, like, there's people that have the Mickey Mouse pennies as well, which I don't understand how they get through, like, the mint. Like, how do they go through there? You know what I'm talking about?
No,
there's pennies that have like another penny like welded on there. It's not welded, but it's like, you know, it's like it's molded on there.
Right? Yeah, two Abraham Lincolns.
Yes, like two Abe Lincolns, right? And then there's other ones that have like there's three of them together. So it looks like a Mickey Mouse head. And apparently those are worth a lot of money, but I don't understand how they get through. Like, I don't.
I'm sure they're all old, right? No, like, you don't have new pennies like that. They're all old pennies.
I mean, you don't really see them, dude. Like, it's a rare occurrence, but I still don't understand, though, like, how they get through, because I'm sure they have to go through some kind of chute or, you know, something where only pennies would fit. Yeah.
They want them to just get stuck and just keeps getting pounded over and over again.
It's just weird, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was really cool to see like a full sheet of like $2 bills uncut, you know, from a mint, dude.
I don't know how you get access to that.
I think that was more of an inside thing, you know what I mean? Like somebody just kind of took it out or something. I don't know. But it was really nice. I forgot what we were talking about for the whole thing.
Yeah, dude. Going back to Rift real quick. The Oculus CEO Palmer Luckey, okay, I don't know. He went to Twitter because people were concerned about the price and stuff like that, right? And this is what he posted on Twitter. To reiterate, we are not making money on Rift hardware. High-end VR is expensive, but Rift is obscenely cheap for what it is. So this guy's saying that they're not making money. That they're selling it so cheap, they undercut themselves so much, they're not making money on Rift.
So, only tells me that they're losing money on it.
That's what they're saying. At the $600 price point, they're not making money. Buy that?
Are they trying to break even? What is the point of this?
Well, I mean, companies lose money on consoles because...
Okay, consoles are one thing, dude.
This is a console. You can use this as a console.
I don't know.
You think he's talking out his...
Yes.
Urethra?
No. More of his anal cavity. No, I don't know, dude. He's saying
we're selling it so cheap, I'm not making money on this. This is super expensive. You know how good of a deal you're getting right here, man.
So how much is it again?
Only $6.
That's it, huh? Yeah, that's a good deal.
That's a great deal, man. Dude.
You sure I can't get it no cheaper somewhere else?
Dude, I'll give you my shirt, dude. That's how much I'm losing on this.
You will give me your shirt?
I'll give my shirt. $600. You give me $600, you get this thing you put on your head and my shirt.
But your shirt's been sweated on like 3 times already.
I know, man. That's just how cheap this thing is, man. I value my shirt more than this thing.
Man, I'll take it.
You think he's trying to pull one of those on us? On us consumers?
I don't think it's true. It can't be true.
Can't be true, you say?
It can't be true. I mean... I don't know, dude. I'm sure development was expensive and all that. I don't think they would be taking a loss on it.
Yeah. Did you see did you hear about the leak? The Amazon leak on the price of the PlayStation VR?
No.
$800.
No. I don't believe that one.
Yeah. So they came out and was like, no, that's not our price.
that's insane, that's not our price. Dude. They wouldn't sell. Would not sell. For $800.
One of the Amazons, I forget what country it was. But yeah, they put a PlayStation VR and had the price at $800. And people were freaking out about it. It was like up there for like a day.
Believe everything you see on Facebook.
Don't. Facebook owns Oculus.
What?
Yeah, they're going to make the VR look
Facebook
bad.
Facebook already has so much money, dude. So much money. The VR, man. I'm still gonna wait.
And of course, speaking of Amazon,
especially if it's like it's gonna be $800.
No, it's not gonna.
I know it's not gonna be, but it's gonna be pretty expensive.
It has to be under $600. They have to.
They have to beat out the competition.
$400. It makes me uncomfortable, but I can see them putting it at $400. I still think to get into people's houses or like really make it sell gangbusters, I think they have to go lower than that. But they might be too afraid to, I guess.
They might be too afraid to. Why would they be afraid?
You're losing that much money on it. But I think the smart move to make, lose money on it, lose a ton of money on it, so people buy it, and then you just make all that money back in your first party games. That's
I mean, that's the way things usually are.
That's now. My mentality. That's what I'm thinking. Like the $250 price point would be cherry. It would sell out,
dude.
Everybody I know would have it.
They would take way too much of a loss, though, dude. That's an extreme loss.
Most of the stuff they're putting in there, stuff they make anyway.
I don't know, dude. It just seems excessive.
OLED TVs. Guess what? The VR already had that. Move controllers. I'm pretty sure they're just using the same stuff they had in the past like 8 years.
Oh yeah, dude. This is probably not any different at all.
Yeah, I'm saying they're already saving.
No, it's the same ones. It is the same.
It is the same ones. PlayStation cameras. They already have those.
That camera sucks too. It's a really bad camera. Just saying.
That aside, what? How much is the actual headset and the little box it comes with? Because that's the only new thing. That's the only new tech they're putting into this. That's what I'm saying. People forget that most of the stuff you need to play VR, Sony already has that. That's already been made. They didn't pay R&D for that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think they're at a prime position to really undercut the competition. I hope they do. I hope they're smart enough to see, like, hey,
I mean,
we can take this away. It almost seems like
that's what they did with the PS4, right?
Yeah, and look how well that worked out for them.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Now they got to do it again. They got to make a statement. They got to be like, hey, Mr. Lucky. Now you guys aren't making money on this. Expect to make a whole lot less. Bam, $250 price point. Aki's gonna be like, oh, wait, did we say we made it as cheap as possible? How about $300?
But you're getting too crazy.
I am getting crazy. This is my dream. I wanna be able to afford it when it comes out.
Please.
And that's my biggest fear though. It's gonna come out and it's gonna sit there because people are gonna be like, oh man, it's gonna cost that much? I don't have that much right now. Oh, you're gonna have to wait until I can make that much money, man.
Nah, a year, dude. You got your tax refund, whatever.
Entertain the audience while I take this.
Your tax refund is coming anyway.
Jeff's okay, corner.
So here, let's talk about Jeff's life in the workplace. So apparently, the guy that was helping me out. With my job, which is the inventory and traceability clerk, right? He ended up leaving early on the Thursday before the New Year. He left like 3 hours early from his shift. Didn't tell the supervisor. He just kind of left. He told one of the regular workers that was there, but other than that, he didn't talk to anybody. So he leaves early, right? And so I go and tell my supervisor, hey, this guy left early, like there's still a lot of work to be done, you know, and I'm gonna leave. I'm not gonna stay here and you know and do his work. So she calls him up and nothing, no answer, you know, he doesn't call back, tells the guy, hey, call back, whatever. So he doesn't do it. And that same day he was asked on Thursday, you know, he was asked if he would want to come in on a Sunday morning and create because we have to do the end of the year inventory. So he agrees to it, and we told him, you know, 6 a.m. start time. And so we're there at 6 a.m. You know, I'm the one that gets there early because I have to actually open up. They gave me the key. They gave me the damn key and the alarm code to the building, which felt great, dude. I was like, dude, I have the key. I can do whatever I want. I can come in here anytime I want. Just do whatever I want, and just leave whenever I want. I have the power, dude.
I wouldn't do that.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I already gave the key back. But I had the key for like 2 weeks after that. No, like a week.
Nice.
A week? Yeah, it's only been a week. So so Sunday he doesn't come in, you know, like we wait till like 7, didn't show up. And I don't know if he called or not because, you know, my supervisor wasn't there at the time. It was just us. And so he just doesn't show up, whatever, right? Come Monday, doesn't show up again, right? And we don't know that he's not showing up. He doesn't call. So at the end of my shift, which is around 2 o'clock, we realize, hey, this guy hasn't called. He's not showing up. And guess what? I have to do all the work now. Like, all the stuff that he does, I have to do. So that day, which was Monday of last week, I worked 17 hours. 17 hours.
Hey, Jeff. You done doing that? Great. Come here. We got to talk to you. You can't be working all this overtime.
My supervisor told me that the manager told her something along the lines. Why did Jeff work 17 hours? And she's like, well, the other guy didn't show up, didn't call. We didn't know he wasn't going to do that. He was going to do that. So all the work was put on his shoulders. And she was like, well, he normally finishes all that in 12 hours. It's like, yeah, when he knows, like, you know, he can plan out his day, but like, he didn't know that guy wasn't going to show up. So this all happened after he had completed like almost 9 hours of work, you know? And it's just, and she didn't seem to understand that I have more responsibilities now than I did when I started. You know what I mean? The company is still growing. I keep, responsibilities keep getting added on, you know, just because of changes at, in work, you know what I mean? And they're all like changes to, for the better of the company. But it's stuff that needs to get done, needs to change. And so, I have all these added responsibilities, which is the whole reason why I needed a second person. You know what I mean? So actually, I can actually complete stuff that that needs to be done in the place. So Monday, worked 17 hours, and then I didn't finish the work. So all that stuff that I have to do is for tomorrow morning. So to come the next day, I had to finish up stuff from that same day, and then still do the stuff for the next day. So I was backed up, basically. You know what I mean? And I had to catch up at some point.
At no point does your supervisor go like, hey, I'm going to help you out with this, because,
there's nobody to help. There's nobody to help, dude.
It's weird, dude. I think you're like...
The warehouse crew right there, there's like three of them. There's three warehousemen. That's it. And they need all three of them to fill out the orders, dude. Sometimes, dude, we have trucks that come in like at a... Say they come in like at noon, right?
Yeah.
And they don't leave till like 2 in the morning because we're still finishing up their orders. And their appointment was like at 3 o'clock.
It's just so weird. This is a warehouse business.
Yeah.
You only have three warehouse people for a warehouse business.
Well, you gotta understand that.
Cooks do they have?
Oh, tons. They have all kinds of people.
They need that many?
The kitchen staff is the biggest staff, dude. They're like, there's so many of them. They have like, I would say just people that actually work in the kitchens, I would probably say is like 60 to 70% of the staff. More like 60. And then I would say like the packaging crew is probably like 30%.
Right.
And then the rest of us. And we're talking about, like laborers. Not people not the top, in the offices. Top brass, yeah. So it's just like our budget is not that big, dude. So we can't, if we have like three people and the warehouse is asking for a fourth person, they're like, no, it's not in your budget. You don't get another person. It's as simple as that. So, yeah. So anyway, like Tuesday.
It doesn't make sense. Like having you work overtime is in their budget, but hiring that person is not in their budget.
You also got to think about them actually. They're taking a loss. They've been taking a loss for a lot of years, right?
Mm.
They're not a profitable company.
Wow.
Yeah. So investors are just dumping money into this place because, they're investing. That's basically what it comes down to. They believe in the company, or they believe that the company's going to do well because of the product that we're selling. And so they keep dumping money into it. Last year, there was like an end of the year report kind of thing, and they said we lost around $200,000 that year. So,
yeah, for a company that size, it's not.
It's not horrible. Insane. I mean, it's obviously a large sum of money, but it's not really insane for a company that size. But that number has been going down, like every year, apparently.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. They're on the right track. We started a new dinner plates. Kind of frozen dinner plates.
Thing. Oh, no, like Hungry Man?
Sure.
Like microwavable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like they have like an enchilada one, little vegan enchiladas. some kind of Mongolian thing going on.
Yeah, it's I can all, get behind that.
Yeah, well, it's all veggie. I mean, everything we do is veggie and vegan. So, you know, so those are actually going to be outsourced. We are going to supply the ingredients, but somebody else is going to make them. And I mean, most of that is just kind of throwing food on a plate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
there's a lot of, it's obviously pre-cooked. So there's going to be a lot of like, you know, like sauces you made in like, you know, gigantic vats and stuff. And people are just going to, you know, create the plates, you know what I mean? Just kind of throw everything in there. It's not that big of a deal, you know? I think the plates are a lot more simpler because it's more of like raw ingredients, really.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, it's some rice with some veggies and, you know, maybe like a little
seitan or,
yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? It's not crazy like the burritos, because the burritos, dude, they, oh my God, dude, the burritos, like the,
there's like the curry tiger,
dude, there's so many ingredients to that thing. So many ingredients, dude. It's insane. Like, there's just so many parts to it, dude.
Yeah, so you guys make some pretty good burritos. You guys actually make some pretty good food. I think what they need to do, they need to have like a cheaper option. They need to have like a, okay, we're not going to give you the crazy tiger burrito, whatever, tiger curry, but here's like a half the price option so you can get familiar with us, know that we make good stuff.
Coupons?
Are they doing coupons?
They have coupons. They give out coupons.
Right, I've never seen a good one, actually.
Yeah, probably not. But I know they do. I've seen the emails. They give out coupons.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, just back to what I was saying, the second day, Tuesday of last week, I worked 16 hours. So I worked 33 hours in 2 days.
A work week, basically.
Almost, yeah. Mm. Like, it's like less than a day, less than, you know, an 8-hour day away from being a full week's worth of work.
I know somebody's going to be able to afford a PlayStation VR.
Even still, dude, there's other things that came up, issues, money issues.
No, not again.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about it. I went on my trip broke. Before I even went on the trip broke, I was using that credit card.
Did I tell you what happened? I told you what happened, right?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, you did.
My sister?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, you went on borrowed money, mm-hmm. basically, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole trip, yeah.
But you enjoyed it, yeah?
It was fun, yeah. I enjoyed it. Oh, yeah, I haven't talked about my trip. Is it time for Dan's Corner?
Yeah.
This feels a little weird. I don't know.
Just go with it, man.
All right. So, we're both getting married. It's getting married in Playa del Carmen, which is over near Cancun. It's like the next big city over. And so, we went down there for about a week. We started out in the Yucatan, famous for the pyramids, Mayan pyramids, stuff like that. And we stay down there, it's hot, right? It's on the Facebook, you know, like after the third day or something like that, we get to a place that has internet, so I can actually start looking at things again. And I'm just hearing about how, like, it's just raining every day over here. Like, every single day, people are complaining and stuff like that. Like, some people can't go to work because parts of their street are flooded and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And there I am, sitting in, like, 90-degree weather. The sun's always out. I'm just like, man, this is so weird.
I mean, you're getting pretty close to the equator, right?
Yep, Caribbean Ocean right there. Caribbean and Pacific. No, not Pacific, Atlantic.
Atlantic, yeah.
Yeah, not even called it, the Gulf.
It's the Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of Mexico, yeah.
Which connects to the Atlantic.
Yeah.
So whatever.
And, so I'm like, cool, I picked the best week to come down, apparently, or my family did, because there's, like, tornadoes in Hollister, which is...
What? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, apparently there was, like, it was a weak tornado, but technically a tornado, as far as a meteorologist.
I've heard there have been other ones here, like, in Santa Cruz area and stuff like that, like, they do happen.
This took off
the little tiny ones.
This took off the roof of a shed, a barn, or something like that.
Not that big, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard, like, tinier ones than that.
Yeah. And so, it was a scientifically considered a weak tornado. Obviously, there's the ones that happened down south in, like, L.A., San Diego, whatever. Stuff like that. So, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I come back and, like, my house is going to be destroyed or something. Like, it's going to be flooded or a tornado's going to come by. I'm like, I'm California, dude. I'm not prepared for a tornado.
Yeah, dude. Tornadoes are weird over here. What happened to good old-fashioned earthquakes?
Dude, I miss a good old-fashioned earthquake. Yeah. Give me a little, like, 4.0.
I want to feel... I don't know. I'd rather have, like, a little 3.5, I think. You think just 3. So the kids would know what's up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want the kids to, be like, yeah, that was an earthquake right there. Yeah, yeah. The one I was in? Yeah. It's like, you know, 100 times stronger than that.
Yeah. Quite literally. People don't realize that about the scale of the earthquakes. The Richter scale,
yeah.
It's exponential growth.
Yeah. It's pretty gnarly being in an earthquake that big. Which wasn't really all that big compared to a lot of the
ones around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
it's pretty tiny compared to them, man.
Didn't Japan get like a... No, I think the highest recorded is like 7.
No, something like that. I think they've gone up to 9, dude.
They've gone up to 9.
At least, yeah.
I know. No, I don't think it's been up to 9. Because there's like a certain point where it's like...
Yeah, they've been up to 9, dude. There hasn't been anything recent, but it's been...
Because it tops out of 10. 10 is like that we'll never get here because this will kill us.
That'll kill the people around the area.
No. Dude, a 6 will kill people around the area.
6 is pretty cool.
6 is pretty big. Isn't the one that happened out here, wasn't that a 6? The big one?
That's 5.9? 5.9?
No, the 89 quake?
Yeah.
That's 5.9. Basically a 6.
Yeah. I think people did die.
Yeah, people did die. Yeah,
but it's not like
a... A lot of damage.
It's not like... Yeah, like the bridge to cross over to the ocean, like through the boardwalk.
Yeah.
That little bridge right there on, was it Riverside? I think it's Riverside. Or River Street. It's on River Street. I think, like, kind of, that bridge separated.
Like,
it was like, yeah.
Santa Cruz was a very different place than it is now because the buildings that collapsed are like, yeah, we're just not going to do anything. We're just bulldoze them. I don't care anymore.
Okay, so I looked it up, and the biggest one was in Chile, 9.5 magnitude.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
In 1960. Yeah. I know the one in... There was one in Mexico City that was pretty damn strong. It was around the 89 one as well. It's around the same era. But there a lot of people died in that one. The one in Mexico City. Oh my god, there was like deaths everywhere.
Yeah, dude.
But I mean, I think it has a lot to do with it, just construction, the construction of the buildings. You know, like, I feel like houses in Mexico just don't have good foundations.
Well, I mean,
even the building itself, like, yeah, it's not. A lot of people build out of bricks.
You know, a lot of
bricks. I mean, actually, there are no real...
It's
rare to see a wooden house.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's rare to see a wooden house. It's also very common to build under the ground layer to create natural cooling down there, too.
Yeah.
So you're already in the ground. So, like, your house is literally shaking with the ground because it's already in there. Like, your bottom floor, from the street, you step down into your house. That's how it is. A lot of houses are like that down there. Plus,
I saw that in Reno one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was they were like selling houses.
Yeah.
And I went to one of the sample houses. Like, you got the front door, and you have to go downstairs into the living room, which is really weird. It feels awkward.
It makes a lot of sense. It's all because to keep your house cooler.
It still feels awkward.
It keeps your house colder in the summer. So like, so dry areas get really hot, like Mexico or Reno. It makes a lot of sense to do that. It also means if you're in the area that floods, it sucks to do that.
Yeah. There's a lot of places that flood.
Yep. But, and another thing, too, is, you know, Mexico and stuff like that, like, it's not that uncommon. Like, hey, you're going to add an addition to your house? Like, yeah, my cousin's coming over to do it. You know, like, you're not necessarily getting paid contractors to do your, like, additions to your houses or, like, build your... another person's house and stuff like that, you know? And, like, you know, don't get me wrong, these are beautiful houses. These people do a really good job.
There's a lot of people that build their own houses in Mexico. Like,
yeah.
It's a very common thing to build your own house. Yeah.
So, but doesn't mean it's going to be safe in an earthquake, though.
Yeah. It was, 1985. 1985 was the Mexico City earthquake.
Yeah.
Which was 4 years before our earthquake. Yeah. And that one was an 8.0 magnitude.
Damn. Yeah,
so many people have died in that earthquake.
Damn, dude. And Mexico City is packed, man. Too.
Yeah.
It's you
like,
have
it's
one
like
building.
A sardine can, man.
Yeah, I'm saying you can have like one building fall over and kill like 40 people.
Why? Because we got like 20 families living in the same house? Is that why?
No, I'm saying because it's packed.
Is that what you're saying?
You just said a sardine can.
Yeah, but I meant it differently.
Dude, I just spent a week in Mexico. You shut it.
A week in faux Mexico because...
Because they don't have any of the normal trappings that Mexico has.
Where you went, dude, they didn't make beans.
And not a single person made beans. Even the taco stands didn't have beans.
How do you not make beans, dude?
Taco stands had rice.
Delicious beans.
Went to one managed to get to one taco stand right outside the airport, right? There's one taco stand. They had rice, no beans. No, oh, it's hilarious, dude. They had a chile de arbol.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm like, you know, making my little rice taco or whatever. And, you know, they got...
Rice taco, come on.
That's all they have. That's all they have. They didn't have no beans. They didn't have no beans. So I put their chili, right? And I see, like, they had a chili arbol there. And I'm like, oh, cool, nice. I'm going to grab something, you know. Start grabbing my spoon. And I put a little spoon. And the guy's like, oh, es muy caliente esto. Es muy caliente.
Is he speaking to you like you don't speak Spanish?
No, but yeah.
Yeah.
But no, he's...
Did a lot of people do that?
No, actually.
No?
No.
Everybody just talked to you normally?
Pretty much almost everybody's talking to me in Spanish, yeah.
Like normal Spanish.
Like, yeah, like normal Spanish.
They didn't look at you and be like, hey, muy caliente.
No. I mean, this guy wasn't talking like that, but he was like, you know, kind of like I'm trying to get your attention. I don't know English. This is hot. That kind of speaking to me in Spanish. He's like, es muy caliente. But not like, hey, gringo, es muy caliente.
Huh? Hot.
But, like, he's thinking, like, oh, some white person coming off a plane, right? And I put my three scoops on my chile arbol on my tacos. And,
Was it muy caliente?
Oh, so good.
Was it muy caliente, though?
It was spicy. It was definitely spicy, but it was not the worst I've had. It's not the worst I've had, right? The guy's like, oh, ¿te gusta picante? Like, yeah, me gusta picante. Because I get this a lot, right? I get this from Japanese people. I get to like people.
Japanese people.
Yeah, Japanese people. I went to a Japanese place where you a hot pot place. You know what a hot pot is?
No.
It's they give you a bowl of boiling water, right? And they have it on fire.
Oh, like in the cartoons, like in the anime.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. You have your thinly sliced meat, and you cook it in there.
Yeah.
Or vegetables or whatever you want to put in there. We went to the hot pot place, and you
can't... That's crazy, I've never been to a place like that.
No, they have them San Jose, dude, we can go one time.
That's cool. Charlie knows everything, dude.
Yeah. And so there's some of my Asian friends. I think it's technically a Chinese place, right? Because I think hot pot's traditionally Chinese.
Is it? Yeah. I've seen
I guess it could have been Japanese.
I've seen it in Japanese anime.
But most of the places you'll find that do it are Chinese. In my experience.
The Japanese do the grill your own meat thing.
Yeah, they do that, yeah. So, the Asian people there, like, Chinese guy and Japanese guy. And there's other people, I think one of them was a Korean, I don't really know them that well. But yeah, and they're like, oh, like, here's, like, the sauce you mix up like that. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, you know, I make my own sauce. I'm like, oh, that's hot. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And they're like, no, it's hot. And I'm like, I'm still spooning the stuff in my thing. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And I just eat it, and I'm like, where's the heat?
They lied to you, vegan.
They lied to me. So, that happens a lot, dude. Oh, man, there was one chili. And, it was this place called La Cueva del Chango. Something like that.
Interesting, eh?
The monkey cave, basically. And, they had these little...
It sounds so much different when you say it in Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have the same feel to it in English.
It doesn't have the gravitas.
Yeah.
And they had the little spices for people to put on their food. And they had a red one. And you taste the red one. And I kid you not, people verified this with me at the table. Tastes like pizza sauce.
Pizza sauce.
Tastes marinara. Like their red sauce or whatever tasted like marinara. Then they had this green one. And I tasted the green one. super spicy, like burns as soon as you put it in your mouth. But no flavor at all. So what's the point, right?
Just for
burning your mouth? Men. Yeah.
Just, yeah. Oh, I can take this salsa.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, if it's not...
No, it's like buying the atomic chicken wings at a Wingstop, you know what I mean?
I don't know what that's like.
They basically make them, like, super spicy, dude. Like, you know, super, super, super spicy. To the point where you're not really enjoying the food. Like, it's dumb. It's just stupid to me.
And this thing, right, it's like, it's one thing if it's, like, super spicy, but, like, you know, tastes good. But if it doesn't taste like anything, then there's no point. It's like, oh, yeah, cool, yeah, I can hold my hand in the pit of fire. Well, what's the point of that? I don't know, it's because it's hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just dumb. So I was very disappointed with that place. I was disappointed with a lot of the food in Mexico. That's like, you know... And Gail, who was with me, was also disappointed in a lot of the food, right? She's going down there, she wants her fish, right? It's in the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean's right there. Beautiful beachside, like, everywhere you look. And she kept getting, like, frozen pieces of fish.
You mean?
Like, the fish had freezer burn on it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like, none of it was fresh. There's one place that she had good fish, and that was in one of the... I'm trying to remember the name of the city. It was, damn, I can't remember. But it was in the Yucatan. One of the beachside...
It seems so strange, though, man.
Yeah, one of the beachside towns in the Yucatan. Not Progreso. I know it's not Progreso, because that's a tourist trap. Don't go there. It's awful. But, there was another one, and they had, like, a bar, and it's like, you know, my dad asked, like, somebody that was there, like, oh, what's the best place to get some food here? I'm like, oh, yeah, this place right here. And she got a coconut shrimp, where the shrimp was served in, like, a little bowl of coconut that had a apricot jam or apricot, like, jelly sauce in there or something like that. And, like, you know, the shrimps, you know, like the
prawns.
Shrimp, the prawns, yeah, basically. They call them shrimps, you know, but it's, like, the size of your palm. And, like, that she enjoys very much. But everything else, she orders fish every single time. I'm like, dude, stop ordering fish because you're not going to be happy with it. She kept trying.
They should have fresh fish, especially living next to the Gulf, dude. It's like you go down to the wharf here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
There's fresh fish everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on the ocean. They're on top of the ocean. There should be fresh fish, no matter what.
Yeah. And again, you know, I'm not a fish expert, you know, but, I mean, she eats a lot of fish, so if she says it was, like, freezer burn, I'll take her word on it.
You're not an aficionado?
Oh, I'll give you fair for that one, good sir.
Yeah, I did good.
it wasn't great. But there's this place down there, if you're a vegan and you're looking for some food in Playa del Carmen, you go find yourself the Vegan Factory.
Which I'm very surprised that it was an actual vegan restaurant.
Yeah, Mexico. It's actually, they're not the only one. They're just the only one I went to. There's like actually like, in that city alone, there's like four, I think.
They cater to the whites.
That town definitely does. Like, yeah. You can't even find like Mexican food there. You just find steaks. Steaks and like fish. Nobody makes beans.
That's why I like going to Mexico City. Yeah. Mexico City is great.
That's why I want to go back. I want to take Gil back to San Juan de los Lagos, right there in the middle of Mexico, pretty much, you know? Where everybody says hi and super nice. Everybody's nice in Mexico, of course, right? Mexican people are just, they're just nice. Yeah, except for the ones trying to kidnap you, but that's usually on the border. Yeah. That's actually happening a lot right now between the border of Texas and
Mexico. Yeah, that's why I'll never drive to Mexico. I'll never do it anymore.
Oh, it's beautiful, though.
Yeah, I won't do it anymore, dude.
Yeah.
I got my kids and stuff, man. That's not a good thing.
But, yeah, just go to San Juan, you know, like, dude, I don't know if they still do this. It's been like a decade since I've been there, but waking up in the morning, opening up your door, and there's a guy pushing this crate, and you're like, man, that guy's pushing something very heavy. And he stops at your house. Inside, he's got the display case full of sweetbread. Bundles, dude. He's got the donuts. Just, you know, because we sell donuts in Mexico. We call them sweetbread, but they're donuts. But yeah, the conchas and like the niños envueltos and stuff like that. Just the whole spread right there at your door every morning for like a peso each.
I'm so hungry.
I know, right? And then you just make your coffee and you just eat your sweetbread that was at served to your door.
I mean, people are always selling on the streets. Like they have their routes and stuff, selling, you know, tamales, you know, mm-hmm. all the damn time.
Unless you're in
they come and sell alcohol. You know, there's a drink in Mexico called pulque.
Yeah,
which is alcoholic. I think they do make a non-alcoholic. But it's pretty much alcohol. It's an alcoholic, and they come in different flavors. Like they come with like a chile flavor, or you know, like a, I don't know, man.
I think
the different fruit flavored ones.
I think my dad or my mom, I forget which one, but one of them doesn't like it, like at all. It's just like, don't drink it. It tastes bad.
It's almost.
But I'm wondering what version
it's like
they
a
got.
Little. It's a little like.
Yeah,
a little slimy.
Yeah,
I guess, you know what I mean. Like, I
think that's the word, right? From cactus juice, right?
Yeah,
yeah. It's like one
so. It's got that slime kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's alcohol. It really is alcohol. And you know, people they'll go down the street and they'll sell it to you like right there. Then you ask for a glass, they'll drop you a glass. Or if you want a bigger container, you know they'll sell it by the ladleful. So you know each ladle is whatever. You know what I mean? It's a glass worth. You know,
yeah.
And it's a big ladle, dude. That thing it's pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be an acquired taste for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But just because I think more of the consistency of it. I would recommend trying different flavors. There's you can go to places called pulquerias, which basically sell the stuff and they have all these flavors.
Yeah.
And you can just go ahead and try a couple flavors one day, go back a couple days later, whatever, try a couple different more flavors.
You know where I didn't see that?
See where you find, until you find one you love.
Didn't see that in Playa del Carmen.
Yeah.
Didn't see no street vendors
either. I don't like you going to tourist locations, dude.
That wasn't my choice, dude. I wasn't the one getting married.
I know it wasn't.
I was very culture shocked. I did not expect it to be so different.
Dude, tourist locations and it's just anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, dude.
But I've been to Baja California, right? That's a tourist location.
Is it?
It is. Right, it's like it's a peninsula of nothing but beaches and like resorts, and you can do like skydiving and scuba diving and snorkeling, all that stuff there, right? And that was still Mexico though, still felt like Mexico. But Cancun is just so different. It caters so much to tourists.
Yeah,
it's just so different. I was so confused. But Vegan Factory, delicious. Some French people came to Mexico for some reason. I assume they were vacationing there. Decided to stay there, opened up their little restaurant. They make real food. Like, not, I mean, you know, you go to a vegan place and they give you some weird, like, hippie type of version of something like that.
Give you a cucumber wrapped in a flower.
Yeah, a cucumber wrapped in a flower, and they call it morning sunshine or something like that.
And there's your vegan plate right there.
Right? But, like, this place had, veal and curry sauce.
Veal?
No, not veal and curry sauce. It was chicken and curry. They had like veal, like all, you know, parentheses.
Yeah.
They would call it veal-less and beef-less and chicken-less, but whatever. That's too long. I don't want to say that.
I've never heard of them, a vegan restaurant having a veal flavored.
That's what I'm saying. Something. They had veal, they had chicken-less curry. There's a veal in something. I can't. Veal with a sauce that was made of green olives. Made with green olives.
Right, I'm big into olives myself, but yeah.
Well, it didn't have olives in it, but the sauce was kind of like made with that. I know why I can't remember. It was a very long title. It was like, you know, all of them had like two line blocks. It had like a six line block. But that was the name of the thing. So that's why I can't remember it.
Is that the one you ordered?
No, that's the one Gail ordered. It was good. It was good. It was tender. It was soft and tender. Right. I ordered the beef and red wine sauce. And dude, I got the chunks of meat, right? They're like cubes of meat. And I'm like, my brother's there. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna cut him off a piece so he can try some of this, because he was going there just for that one night. He was gonna be able to eat there. And he ordered himself a burger, like some idiot, some tourist. Oh, I don't know what I want. Oh, burger.
Veggie burger?
It was a vegan burger. Yeah, they're all. It's a vegan factory.
They don't
vegan.
Have anything that's not vegan.
They don't have everything that's not vegan. But the burger's delicious because he got the same burger I got the day before, and it was amazing. A cheeseburger with the melted cheese, which is hard to do on a burger, let me tell you. I've tried many times. On a pizza...
Hard to melt the cheese?
The vegan cheese? On the pizza, it's easy because it's cooking there for a long time. On a burger, you kind of put the cheese on near the end. It doesn't really melt that well. They know how to do it. They know how to make it melt. It's amazing.
It's kind of thinner piece. That's all it is. Thinner slice.
No, it's shredded.
Oh, well, that's easier then.
You would think. You would think. It needs a very peculiar temperature to melt or something. I haven't figured it out. I haven't figured it out. It was a very good burger, but I had the... So I go to cut him a piece of meat, right, using my fork, and I can't cut it.
With your fork?
With my fork. It's too much resistance. Because I'm thinking, like, this is some tofu thing or whatever. I'm just going to cut it. You know, like, I'm used to doing this at this point. But I can't... There's too much resistance. I can't cut through it. And as I press down on it with the fork to cut through it, the juices come out of the fake meat. At this point, I'm looking at this, and I'm like...
Guess what, buddy?
This guy gave me some meat.
Like, he just ate some meat, dude.
But no, it's all completely vegan. I'm just like, I'm blown away at this point. I'm just like, what is this made out of? How do you make this? Because I need to have this in my life every day. Dude, they have pan au chocolat. It's a picture croissant, nice, fluffy, flaky croissant with chocolate inside of it. So good. And they're French. They just know how to make this.
I gather that from that name.
Yeah. So good. And then they had this thing called the Dôme. Or a Dôme. I'm not sure if that was in
French. D-O-M-E?
D-O-M-E, yeah.
Do they have a little house thing on the top of the O?
No, I don't think so. I think it had an accent.
I don't even know what that's called.
It was like some of their stuff was in French, you know, the French name. Some of it was like the Spanish, in Spanish. So I'm not sure if there's like the Spanish name or the French one or whatever. But it's this pastry. It's a dessert thing. And like, there's a dome like the size of my palm. No, the size of my hand with my finger spread out. Right? And it's a dome. It's pretty good size, right? And they only had the white chocolate. See how I could taste. But it is like an inch of white chocolate on the outside of this thing, creating the dome. Right? You flip it around, you can see there's like a little graham cracker crust or something like that on the bottom of it. But like in the middle of the dome. So the dome encircles everything. And you break through the chocolate, and there is like, Gail said it was like a custard. It felt like a very thick whipped cream. Right? I never had a custard, so the closest I could think of was like a very thick whipped cream on the inside of this. And in the middle of all this, there's a layer of mango.
Like mango mangoes?
Like mango mangoes. Like sweet mangoes.
Sweet, delicious mangoes.
Yeah, those little yellow ones, you know what I'm talking about? The candy mangoes?
Oh, the ones they have in the... The picture market? Of the clan, the cans, the little mango juice cans.
Oh, no.
It's like the little Philippine mangoes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's what it tastes like anyway. And the weird thing is, right, the stuff is frozen because they got to keep it frozen, right? You just let it room temperature, you eat it. But that mango was the freshest mango I've had in a long time. That doesn't make any sense in my brain because I just saw the thing come out of a freezer. And I didn't cook it or anything. I just let it sit there. And it was so fresh. This thing was so good. It ruined desserts for me. Nothing compares to this thing as far in the dessert category. It's so rich. It's like, I will become the obesest man if I live in the place I made it.
Did you buy stuff off the street?
There was just that one street corner place, dude.
That was it?
That was it. Everything else was a restaurant. I was very disappointed because I kept telling people, like, you're like, oh, yeah, what's the best place to get Mexican food? I'm like, the street. You find somebody selling something on the street, and it's going to be some of the best food you're going to get in Mexico. And I'm like, yeah, I'm talking all this game, you know, I'm in Mexico, yeah, I know where to find some of the good stuff, and like, I can't find any of it.
So strange, man. Oh. What happened to that part of Mexico?
Actually, Gail did say that was her, the only other fish she enjoyed. She got a fish taco at the taco stand, and they did it right, because...
Street food, yeah.
They know how to cook. Yeah. And you just get disappointed more every meal just became more and more disappointing.
As you know, because the thing about that street food, it's only the one guy that's cooking.
Not like two people.
Yeah, sometimes like two, but that's it. Like, and it'll be the same two people because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They
don't make 12 different things. They make tacos or carne asada or something like that. And like, that's it. And like, they're very good.
It's not like they're hiring people. No, this is their business. Like, this is what they do. You know what I mean? Like, it's them trying to make a living. And so, you know, doing the same thing, you know, over and over and over for years and years and years and years, you know, it's got to be good, dude. You know what I mean? Otherwise, they wouldn't be there so long.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to afford it.
But it's just, it becomes their specialty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like my wife's family in Mexico, they sell desserts on the street.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, what so kind? They have different kind. They have like arroz con leche, chongos. I don't know if you had chongos before in Mexico.
I think so. Uh-huh.
Pay de chocolate, pay de limón.
Interesting.
What else? They have fruits and syrup, or just fruits. Just a little fruit cocktail kind of deal.
Right.
Like, then, you know, so they make all this stuff, right? And they make it, you know, they make it at home. They have, like, two fridges at home. And then, you know, when it comes to time to take them out, they put them all in this cart, and we just haul the cart. We haul the cart, like 8 blocks, 10 blocks, something like that, to go sell over at the market. And then afterwards, just haul it all back, dude, and put it away, put it in the fridges. And then they'll mix that in with the new batch that they make. So it mixes in with a new one, so it's not, you know, it doesn't taste as old or whatever.
Yeah.
And they make multiple trays, so when one's done, you know what I mean, they bring out another one from underneath and stuff.
Right.
But it's a lot. They make a lot. The, my favorites, probably, the arroz con leche was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, can't go wrong with the arroz con leche.
And the pie, like pie de limón and pie de chocolate, they were made from cookies. Like Gamesa cookies.
Okay, yeah.
Like, and it was, but it was so delicious. I don't know
exactly. You mean like the crust was made from the cookies?
No, like it was like layered with them.
Oh.
It was the strangest thing, and I was like, this is a pie? And I was like, but I had it, dude, and it was like, when they cook it, the cookies get soft.
Right. Right. So yeah, I've heard of things like that.
Yeah, they're not, I mean, when you buy them, they're crunchy. They're snappable.
Yeah.
But you know they cook it and stuff, and they get soft, you know, and you can just you know with a spoon you can just you know just take a scoop,
mm-hmm.
and it was so freaking delicious, dude. I never had anything like that. It was I kept telling me yeah, because you get a plate with like three sections and you can choose you know three things that you want or the same thing you know all three of them, and it was I think it was like 10 pesos for that.
Oh, dude, that's yeah, it. That's
which
it.
Is basically a dollar. Like it's a dollar, yeah, and it's a you know it's good. And so,
that still didn't bug me.
I would tell them, you know, like, hey, let me get some of that, and you know, they would never make me pay, but right. I always dropped the money in there anyway. I was just like, nah, dude, come on. This is delicious. I gotta pay you guys for your work because this is good.
I'm a rich American man.
No, but they deserve it, dude. I mean, they work hard, dude, and a lot of people in Mexico work hard. The people who sell on the streets, dude, they work hard for you know just to make a living,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, you know.
It's a fun thing, right? When you go to Mexico, good place, Mexico, good food and stuff like that. I mean, like the best food moments I've had, Mexico. Best beans I've ever had, Mexico. Right? No brainer. Best pizza I ever had, Mexico.
I don't know about that one.
I had some good pizza.
I don't know where the hell you went, then.
It was. We were driving through Mexico. We stopped at a pizza place. I don't know where it was either. So good. So good.
Really?
Yeah, we got like a teriyaki chicken pizza, dude. It was like chunks of chicken, dude. Not like little diced, like sprinkled chicken. Like, this is like full on, like, you know, you take a bite out of a chicken, like, that piece of that, it's in your mouth. That's the individual pieces of chicken.
Relax.
I'm just trying to get my point across. And like, you know, it was just, the cheese was just right into sauce. It's not the marinara sauce you're used to up here, like, at least in California anyway, where it's kind of sweeter. This was kind of more tangy. It's just amazing. The dough is just right. You know, most people think of pizza, they think their pepperonis and their cheese. It's like, no, you gotta get the dough right, you gotta get that sauce right. Each layer of the pizza has to be good.
I've yet to find a pizza that's better in Mexico than it is over here.
Nah, man. I wish I knew where I was, I can have you go check it out. I just remember that pizza, it stuck in my head.
There's a place in Sacramento that, when I went to Sacramento a couple, 3-4 weekends ago, it was before Christmas. I went to, my friend took me to a pizzeria up there. It was probably like one of the best pizzas I've ever had. Like everything was super fresh. They slice all the ingredients right there. You know, they have like fresh mushrooms. They're slicing them up right in the back.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And the whole kitchen area is like completely open. So you can see what everybody's doing, dude. And it was just, everything was just super fresh. And if you get like, I think if you get like, was it 6 toppings or more? Like, you get charged up to 6 toppings. So everything after 6 toppings is basically the same price as 6 toppings. So you can just, like, if you're going to get 6 of them, you just pack it on. Do whatever you want. Dude, I got the pizza. Dude, I got so much stuff on. Dude, the toppings were, an inch, you know, above the pizza, dude. There's just so much topping, dude. And they pour it on there, dude. There's so much stuff on there.
Usually when you get more than one topping, like, they go skimpy on one of the toppings.
Yeah, like, yeah. They did it right, dude. And it was just so much goodness. It would, like, they say they make the dough there, too. Like, the dough is just freshly made. Everything is just fresh there, dude.
Wow.
And that's impressive. It was a really amazing pizza. And the waitress that we got, oh my God, dude, I fell in love with her. Like, I fell in love with her personality.
Yeah.
And I, not in the love kind of way, but she was just a really great person. And, you know, she wasn't like pushy, she wasn't mean, she wasn't anything. She was just like, the perfect waitress. You know what I mean? Like, she was just a really good person. Yeah. And I enjoyed her company. I enjoyed the pizza. You know, I just enjoyed the whole restaurant. Man, it was good.
Nice.
I forgot what it's called. I got somebody I can call to
good pizza places. Yeah. You can't remember them, dude. They're like myths.
I know where it is. I know how to get there. Just don't know what it's called.
All right, let's get back to talking about games. Thank you for listening to our
food. Why we're having so much fun.
Thank you for listening to our food portion of the podcast. Well, I guess some more info out there for people. Kojima has been inducted into the Hall of Fame at DICE. So, there you go, Kojima. You get the recognition you deserve.
People are giving him love, man. When he needs it the most.
Maybe a little too much love. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, pull back. He only lost his job. Oh, man, people hate me now.
See that meme? I show you that meme, right?
No, I don't think so.
Kojima was the last great thing to come out of Konami.
No, I don't think it was in that one. Yeah. That's true, though. So some games have been delayed. ReCore, the Xbox One game with Keiji Inafune.
Yeah.
That one's been delayed until later the year. Let's see here. Alienation, Housemarque's next game. The guys that did the Resogun. And, I can't remember what it was called. The other one was people I might be more familiar with. PlayStation 3 game. That game got delayed.
Warframe?
But, you know, it's not all bad news. We have some... No, not Warframe. We have some game release dates that have been announced. Crypt of the NecroDancer, I know you've been looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's I want to play that game.
February 2nd. Almost there. You're almost there. Odin Sphere re-release. What was that? Left Razor? I don't know how to pronounce that. June 7th. So, you know, close to my birthday. Just putting it out there.
That's my sister's birthday.
Well, whoop-dee-doo!
Sorry, man. Sorry.
Psychonauts 2 has been funded.
And Psychonauts 1 is coming to the PlayStation
4. It's already, I think. No, it's not already available. The other one, other game's already available. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. The beta starts this month. It's an open beta. It starts on the 14th. So a couple days from now. Apparently all you have to do is you go in, download it, you start playing it. That's cool.
It is cool.
And Atlas has teased several unannounced titles for 2016.
I played the, what is it called, Race to Sun?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Been playing that a lot.
Yeah. It's a very nice game for a runner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really fun, and I hate crashing, though. Yeah. And I do that a lot. I can't get past the third level.
Yeah, it gets fast. Yeah. It gets fast real quick.
I've gotten a couple of upgrades and stuff, and then my next thing is, like, get a multiplier 15, and I got up to, like, 14. Oh. I was so mad when I crashed, dude. Yeah. So mad when I crashed. I don't remember how many more the trines I needed to get, but to get to the 15, but it was, like, I was, like, so damn close to it, and I just couldn't do it, dude. I couldn't do it.
That sucks. That sucks bad.
But it's really fun. I'm having a lot of fun with that game.
Oh, yeah.
And every day, I mean, every day it changes. Like, it's a different game every day. It's the same game every day. But, like, the obstacles, you know, they change.
It's change a roguelike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's a daily rankings and stuff like that. You can get into that, see where you're ranking. So if you're the first one to play it, you know, when they change it, you can get the high score real quick.
Yeah. You'd be up there for like 2 seconds. Take a screenshot real quick. It's a funny because that game, if it wasn't like a PlayStation Plus game, I don't think I would have even heard of that game.
I see a lot of the indie games before they come out to consoles because I'm on Twitch a lot.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And like, I follow a bunch of other people, and I tend to, if I don't know a game that they're playing, I tend to click on it. Just to see what, you know, what the game is, you know what I mean? And sometimes I'll like the game and I'll stay on there, and sometimes I won't like the game and I won't stay on there. But, and, you know, if it's one of my favorite casters, then, you know, I usually stay on there I stay there for the caster, not for the game. You know what I mean? And they'll play whatever game, like some weird games I've never heard of, and I'll stay, you know, just because I like that caster. But, you know, like, and that's how I get to see a lot of games that I'm, you know, out, but just never heard of before.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. Are you doing Twitter question of the week?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Alright, let me see.
I wasn't prepared again.
If you got any responses.
I'm never prepared for this, man.
No, you never are.
I don't love my podcast so much.
Alright, just real quick before we do this, I'll be danged, me and Jeff here, we were trying to see if we can figure out a way to make our recording program pick up audio through a chat server, something like that. We're working on it. We're just not smart. So we don't know how to do that yet.
It's not working out, man.
Not working out. But we're trying out, Dan. We're trying to get you on here. But Twitter question of the week is, have you ever imported a game? We got a response here from Boy of Sago 831. Straight up. Real simple answer here. No.
I have played Japanese versions of games, but I've never imported a game. I've never done that. One of the Zeldas, the original Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
There was it's more coveted than the later versions.
Yeah.
Because of whatever, maybe even I think it's more of a speedrun kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So like Japan was selling these first editions or whatever, but they were falsifying the information on the cart. So they would, you know, they would create a cart that was, you know, like a we'll call it a, you know, year one or whatever, but it wasn't. And yeah, they would sell it to people like that, and then people would get them over here in the States, be like, no, this isn't right. This isn't
doesn't right. Have the glitch, yeah. So lets me win. Yeah.
So that was happening, dude. That was happening for a bit. But yeah, like when it comes to importing games, I just, no, dude. Never even thought about doing it, really.
Yeah. Not even for like a fighting game?
I've wanted to have like a Famicom, yeah. You know what I mean? Just to have one. But I never really thought about importing games over.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I've imported two games.
Technically.
One of them I bought at a Fry's, but it was never released in America.
Your Best Buys are always at Fry's.
You used to be able to pick up imported games at Fry's. It used to be a feature. It's like, hey, you want to go to Fry's? Yeah, I want to go pick out some imported games.
Guaranteed.
So, yeah, it's the only place you can get them, like at an actual retail store. And so they had an RPG called Tales of Eternia, part of the Tales franchise. Never released in the States. But it was released in Europe. So I picked up a European version so I could understand what they were saying. I have imported one game from Japan.
Did they spell mom, mum?
No, I don't think they did. I have imported one game from Japan. It was for my Neo Geo Pocket Color. And it was Last Blade.
I still think that's cool that you have a Neo Geo.
Yeah, I have it. I think it's in the other room. And I used to turn that thing on just for a little horoscope thing. It had a little horoscope program. But yeah, it's a fighting game, so I don't have to understand what I'm doing. Yeah, I didn't understand some of the features.
So you don't have to understand what you are doing.
Not in the lingual sense.
Linguistic. Dude, why don't you ever study fighting games?
I'm not competitive. Damn it. I'm not competitive. Dude, Milo tried to get me. He's like, dude, you get Street Fighter V? I'm like, nah, I'm not really competitive. Oh, no, just play casual. Like, no, it's just not. I don't want to, like, play against people. Those games. I mean, I have fun. You know, they're fun. I understand the appeal, but it's not my personal preference.
I mean, because it is all about a competition.
Yeah.
That's all that's about.
Yeah, like, I just kind of get over the whole bravado. Like, yeah, I'm so much better. Oh, you know. I'm just like, I'm over it. Like, I just want to play a game. I don't want to, like, have to, puff my chest out every time I want to sit down and play a game, you know?
Any game you can play, I can play better.
Basically, that's the mentality behind it. Speaking of playing games, I was mixing the whole time. I didn't see you stream once, man.
I streamed it. I streamed it,
like, one day. I got, like,
I streamed Bloodborne.
For one day.
And got through two bosses.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which ones?
The,
I should know this, but I don't remember. No, we'll just kind
of... I forgot her name. It's one of the chicks that turns into a wolf, like a huge wolf.
The one in the church?
And then there's a skull that you get to touch.
Vicar Amelia, yeah.
Yeah, Amelia, there we go. And then the one in that same area, except a different direction, but it's still in the same kind of general area before you get into the forest. And it was another dog. It was another dog, like a huge dog. But this one, I think this one was in black. Oh, and he poisoned it. He poisoned like crazy.
Oh, the bloodletting, the Bloodstarred Beast.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he, I just remember what happened there. I just remember what happened.
Actually, I one shot at that boss.
Did you? Oh, I didn't. I got,
were here when I did it.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you were here when I did it. I was like, I'm saving that clip.
Hey, check it out. Check out what happened with that boss.
All right.
So, I mean, the first run, I got him down to, like, maybe 90%. Or I got 90% of his life off. And I died. I ended up dying. So I was really mad at that.
That poison gets out of control quick.
So, I finally beat him, right? And I'm gloating.
Yep.
I don't realize that I'm poisoned. So, all of a sudden, dude, like, I'm just like, yeah, you know, like, I'm, like, pacing around and stuff, just kind of happy. Like, I, you know, finally beat this bastard, and I end up dying. And I was like, whoa, what happened? What attacked me? Like, I didn't know, like, I thought there was some lingering enemy there, dude, that went and attacked me and killed me. Not realizing that it was the poison from the guy ended up, you know, poisoning me. And I died from the poison. And I just, I mean, it didn't really matter. It was just funny, though. It was just so funny that I didn't notice that. And so, you know, all I had to do was just go all the way back there and, you know, collect my
reward. Yeah.
But, I don't know. It was a funny moment. I should probably highlight that.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, I got to go back and highlight that before it runs, you know, it goes away.
Deletes it, like our podcast?
No, I already did that. I took care of both of them.
Okay.
Yeah. You can do up to 2-hour blocks of highlights.
Okay.
So, like, it worked fine, yeah. And it's supposed to save it indefinitely. So.
And, no, I got a double KO on one of the bosses. One of the optional bosses.
Really?
And he got a double KO, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to do this again. But it kept it dead. I got
the kill. Yeah, it seems like if you and there was a okay, where Amelia's at? Mm-hmm. You know, once if you're going up the stairs, if you could take a right there, there's like two guys.
Yeah.
One guy has like a little lightning mace.
Yeah.
And the other guy just has a shielding. Oh no, shoots a
he shoots a
shotgun or whatever.
The rifle spear.
Yeah, and he keeps on like that's all he does is run away from you and shoot at you. Mm-hmm. And they're super fast. Well, I ended up killing the guy with the mace. Ended up killing him, and I was moving around. I didn't realize the second guy was there, and I was moving around, and I started getting hit from behind. I was like, "What the crap, dude?" And there was another guy there, and so now I'm fighting two guys, at the same time. But the other guy's like just kind of keeping away, shooting at me. Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting I don't know how many blood vials, dude. I use all kinds of blood vials in that fight to beat the first guy. But the second guy, I just couldn't touch the guy, man. I could not get close to him.
So annoying. Yeah.
And it was just like I had him cornered and I went around to the back of the building or the back of the cliffside or whatever right there. And so he was cornered. I was like, dude, I got this guy now. Like he's cornered there, dude. I'm just gonna hold my R2 and just beat the crap out of him like that, dude. But he ended up escaping and going all the way back to the open area, and I was just like, oh no. And he ended up killing me, and I was just like, you know what, screw this. I'm not dealing with this. I'm coming back later when I got enough power but yeah, like I was mad.
The way I dealt with that guy is one, I noticed the mace guy like soon enough that like he came to me, so I was able to kind of handle him by himself.
Yeah, that guy's not in so much of an issue.
Yeah. And the other guy, you know, there's that well right there.
Yeah.
If you're on the other side of the well, the bullets won't hit you.
I noticed that, so he wouldn't come near me though.
So I danced around the well a bit and like I dash in, like, after he took a shot and, like, get a couple hits and dash back behind the well. I was able to pretty much do most of the fight like that.
That's so lame.
It's tactics. It's what wins people fights.
Because he can't shoot you behind the well, even though it's like openings. There's so many openings there, but it still won't hit. Like, yeah. You're exploit. That's exploitation.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. Oh, I hear it.
So I ended up going into the forest area. I got through a lot of the forest area. I can't grasp the map of the forest area. Mm. Like I'm getting lost really easily. I don't feel like I could find my way around there. You know, when you go into the buildings parts, you know, there's some good landmarks you can base yourself on. But the forest, dude, it's hard. It is hard. And there was like two entrances, so I went through one entrance once, and I think I ended up dying because some guy spawned. Like there was, just kind of grew out of the ground or something. I can't remember exactly how he spawned, but it was kind of crazy. He ended up killing me. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna go this way.
Dude, you're not even at the hardest part yet.
Of the forest?
I'm not even talking about the forest. I'm talking about the game.
The game itself.
Because you know, there's a point where like the game's like, all right, well, I've seen enough of this game. I understand it enough that like. I might die like once or twice here, but I know how to handle things now.
Yeah.
And there's a part of the game where they kind of like flip it a bit. You're kind of like, what is happening? What's going on? Like, none of my tactics aren't working. Things are happening too fast. And you have to refigure out what you're doing.
Well, I can't wait to get to that part.
Yeah. It also has probably like the toughest hunter fight in the entire game. I'm just going to say it. And I'm not gonna lie, I cheesed that one. I just straight up, I cheesed it. I was like, no, I'm not doing this legit because this is just ridiculous.
Did you try leveling up first?
Well, I'm dying, like getting my souls and dying, getting my souls. So yeah, I leveled up a couple times just in the process of trying to get, because you know you don't respawn like right next to them. You have to make your way back over there. So the process of doing all that, yeah, I leveled up a couple times just trying to kill these guys, but. So I cheese it. Yeah, I'm upfront about it. That fight is just it's pretty ridiculous. I found out that people just skip them. That's how a lot of people like their solution to it is just to skip them.
Cause I think one of the boss, you can skip a few of them, right?
There's a couple optional bosses. Yeah.
Cause I don't think the ones that I got were. Amelia, I think it's necessary because you got to touch the skull,
yeah.
And you got to go through that whole weird like
vision.
Yeah, it's just it was weird. I'm not sure I understood what was happening, but like the other one seemed temporary. The one where you have to go, where the guy's shooting with a machine gun from the top of the roof.
Dojo, yeah.
Yeah, like that boss didn't seem like he was necessary to beat.
I think that one,
because it was just a dead end. Like you end up getting to a dead end from, you know, from there.
Yeah, but I think you do have to actually beat that one. I can't remember what you're saying. I think you get something.
And then, yeah, like, it opened up a door over at the temple.
Or I think it gives you something for the workshop. I think you get, like, workshop tool, don't you?
You get there's a bunch of chests up there, up in the tower area.
Yeah.
And, but I couldn't get through there, like, from there. So, when I respawned in the church, in that one church, like, the door, one of the doors was open now. There was, like, a little elevator you could take, and it would take you up to the tower area. And I was like, oh, this is how you get up there. And there's a bunch of chests there, dude, and I got like 2 trophies because of the chests.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, well, this is cool. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some fancy stuff in here, dude.
There's a whole, like, armor set, I think.
Yeah, and I ended up equipping a couple of runes, too, from there. Like, yeah, like, it was good. It's good stuff.
You like how in the church they have, like, one of the bosses, but, like, hanging from the church?
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool.
You see that thing for the first time? You're like, what the heck is that?
Yeah,
dude. And, like, You slowly walk through the room. It's like, this thing's gonna fall.
I know. Like, you feel like it's gonna attack you, dude. And but no, it didn't attack you. There was a ton of those poison guys there, though. Like, yeah. It was just like a huge wave of them.
Mm-hmm.
And but like, yeah, and I felt like, okay, I'm gonna get near this guy, dude. He's gonna end up attacking me. I'm gonna die a few times before I end up beating this guy. But yeah, he stood there, took it like a champ.
Took it like a champ. No, but I did one shot that poison one. I don't know how I did it. I'm not gonna sit here like, yeah, you know, my skill, like, no, I kind of like hit buttons at a certain point and then the thing died and I was alive and I had an antidote. I was like, cool, yes. That was my first boss that I was able to one shot. I didn't feel great about it. There's one that got stolen from me. There's one that was so close. They got stolen from me. I got to watch one of my friends one shot, and I was like, oh, I hate you right now. Because they did an attack. They do, like, you know, the bosses have different attacks at different points in their life.
Yeah.
So I got to the end of life, near the end of life, and I'm watching this guy, I'm dodging and weaving and stuff like that, and I get hit from behind and killed. And I'm like,
from something else?
From something else. That's part of the fight, but I never saw it. And it wasn't until I watched other people play it that I even knew what it was that hit me.
Right. Well, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. But if it wasn't for that thing, I would have one-shot that fight. But something's like, I didn't even know about it, just came from behind and killed me. And I was like, what? No. I had like 2 or 3 combos left in that fight. I felt so robbed. I felt so robbed. But no, I think I've one-shotted like 1 or 2 more bosses after that.
Well,
the first boss in the DLC, I one shot of that one.
I probably won't have the same luck. I'm really good at dying.
Actually, I think one of the optional bosses, I think one of the ones you watched the Titan Day fight, I one shot of one of those.
Oh, that guy, the big guy? The really huge guy?
The one with all the arms?
Yeah.
Yeah, I one shot of that one.
Nice, dude. Titan had a kind of hard time with that guy.
Yeah, like, I don't know why he was having such a hard time. Like, he wasn't doing damage. Like, he finally figured it out, I think. How to get his damage in there or something like that. But he was like...
I wish I wasn't watching the boss fight. I totally wanted to watch it, but I didn't want to watch it at the same time.
It's an optional one. You don't have to do that one.
Yeah, but I'm going to... If I find a boss, I'm gonna do it. Like, I can't skip bosses in that, you know, like... I just can't do it, dude. I can't go through a game without, you know, trying to at least find everything.
Then you're going to have to do Chalice Dungeon. There are some certain bosses that you can only fight in the Chalice Dungeon.
Yeah, I'm down, dude. I'm so down.
Dude, you're going to hate the dungeon.
I already got my first Chalice thing.
Yeah, they get annoying quick, the Chalice Dungeons. I'm not going to lie, dude. They get annoying quick. You do, like, the first 2 or 3, you're like, alright, fine, no problem. Whatever, I got this. Like, that fourth one comes around, you're like, what the hell, man? Especially having to grind levels and stuff like that, so you can be competitive. Because it's not designed like the rest of the game. And it's like, all right, you know, just level that level, here's your progression card. It's like, okay, you reached this part of the Chaos Dungeon. Cool. You're on New Game Plus now, right? Oh, you're not? Oh. Well, have fun. And you get the next part. You're in New Game Plus Plus now, right? No? Oh. All right. Good job making it this far. And that's how those progress, right? So, like, it gets to a point where it's like, you just hit a wall, you're kind of like, ugh. And you're just grinding out these dungeons, you know, like the very beginning of the game where you can't kill nothing. And you're just like, ugh. And everything's like killing you in like one or two hits. You're like, I don't like this.
Yeah, well, that happens to me. That happened to me in the forest with those stupid. Some of these people just do insane amount of damage, dude, with one hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start going into combos, and you can't do anything about it, and they'll take the whole life.
They start doing the grabs.
It's crazy, dude. It's like, come on. At least give me a chance.
Yeah.
Don't just, like, confirm a hit and then go into the super crazy combo and kill me.
Don't pull a Street Fighter on
me. Freaking Marvel versus Capcom.
Right?
Damn, dude.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for listening. Our food spectacular podcast. We hope you enjoyed the tips on traveling to Mexico and what to look for.
Look for street vendors.
And don't be so afraid about getting a disease or something like that. People always talk about like, oh, don't drink the water, don't drink the
Montezuma's revenge.
Yeah, I'll tell you this right now.
You're gonna get diarrhea no matter what.
Most of the times I've been in Mexico, I've drank tap water, and I've not gotten sick once.
Yeah.
It's just an urban myth.
I get the runs every time I go to Mexico.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't.
But it's not crazy. It's not crazy.
I've never gotten the runs in Mexico.
No, I have. Every time.
What do you eat, dude? Because you're in Mexico City, man. Dude. They're mixing in that American.
No, man, I go to Morelia, and I've been to Colima. I go everywhere, dude. But it just happens to me. I don't know, it's a change of food, dude. It's a change of food.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I've never had it happen to me. Actually, I poop better when I'm Mexican.
Nice. So glad to hear that, man.
As is everybody.
I was wondering, you know, like, the whole time you were over there, I was like, man, I hope Vegan Dan's pooping better right now.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
I hope his vacation doesn't involve porcelain drink.
Well,
that's it,
right? Yeah.
See you next week.
Yeah, well, Black Hole Flare. Remember Black Hole Flare.
Black Hole Flare.
Twitch.tv/Black Hole Flare. Remember that. And I tried Warframe and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.